Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Wells Guthrie. Hoping everybody out there is having a terrific Tuesday. Nothing like getting geeked up for a Florida-Tennessee game in December, and that's what we've got. So who better to talk some Gators football than our good buddy Edgar Thompson of the Orlando Sentinel. Edgar, how are you today?
Doing great, man. How's it going with you?
Hey,
it's freezing down here, so I can only imagine what it must be doing there.
Yep, it was 23 where I live this morning. So, yeah, it was quite nippy. Hey, great job on your story last week. I know these are two newspaper guys talking, but your story on Robbie Andrew and Pat Dooley was really cool. I've been covering SEC football for 30 years, and when I think of Florida, they've been there from the get-go. They were there for all that time. So it's just fantastic. I had no idea their background goes back to before they could even drive, that they've been buddies for a long time. So I think I saw it on Thanksgiving Day when you did that. So if you're a Gator fan, you'll know exactly who Pat Dooley and Robbie Andrew are, because, like I said, they've been at the Gainesville Sun for forever. They've just retired, but a job well done on that.
I appreciate it. I was pretty blown away by the response to it. You know, you're writing about two guys. You feel like nobody cares when we're, you know, talking about access drying
right
up, or the media food stinks, or whatever complaint we have, because we're a lot of us like to complain. I myself leading the pack, but I'm writing a story about these two guys, thinking, you know, a few people will enjoy it. My Lord, it blew up big time. Tons of people read it. It got all kinds of play. All kinds of really positive response. Robbie and Pat really liked it, and those are the two guys that I hope enjoyed it most, and they seem to really like it. It is a phenomenal story, David, that really will never be repeated in this day and age now that newspapers are, you know, on the downside of their existence, probably. And these two guys met, 50 years ago, as high school golf teammates, and worked together for almost 30 years at the Gainesville Sun together, and covering the Gators through all the glory years of Spurrier and Urban, and now Dan Mullen resurrecting the program, and then all the firings and craziness with, you know, Zook and Muschamp. And I mean, they were around for Galen Hall, not Charlie Poe, mm-hmm. really, but just all kinds of stuff. And Billy Donovan, obviously, which came out of nowhere and took a, you know, program nobody thought had any promise and turned into a national champion. So really great memories those guys have, and they've been here at the front row seat for a lot of it. So, yeah, it was cool to do, and great to see the whole reception for everything.
Yeah, really well done. And, of course, you've started to rack up the years covering Florida with the Orlando Sentinel. And I guess my first question for you is, how does it compare interviewing players about the Tennessee rivalry compared to when you first got there?
God, the Tennessee game was like the game. I got here in 02, and that was the rain game mm-hmm. with Zook. I mean, it poured, and Casey Clawson fumbled 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
It was unbelievable, and Rex Grossman played out of his mind in a downpour. And it was a big win for Zook, who didn't have many of them that year. And or during his time here, he seemed to have some real big wins, but some real bad losses. Ron did, but and then 04, I was there for that one with Jason, or it's Jason Willoy, right? Kicking the 50-yarder
after missing the extra point. Yeah,
excuse me.
After missing the extra point.
Oh, okay, yeah, 50-yarder, and I turned to Dave George, longtime Palm Beach Post columnist who recently retired, and looked at him and goes, well, how am I going to write this? I mean, it was like, you know, you have like 5 minutes to write this like insane game story. It was, you know, I'd written like 5 leads by that point. So that was the heyday. I mean, then 2006, Tebow, 21-20, where Tebow's, you know, full back in his way to, you know, first downs on fourth down and stuff. And so, yeah, I was there then, and I left and went to South Florida to cover football, NFL, came back, and Tennessee was, you know, on the downside, and so was Florida. Now Florida's in the upswing, and Tennessee hadn't seemed to find any traction.
Yeah, it's tough to get people to talk about interesting stuff with this rivalry, because really, and I've mentioned this, I mean, you know, we all know up here that Pruitt is 0-8 against the trio of Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. But he had the relatively close game against Bama last year until Garantano fumbles into the end zone. I mean, if they score there, it's 28-20 in Tuscaloosa, and Mac Jones is the backup quarterback, having been thrust into that game. And, of course, they led Georgia at halftime this year. But the two Pruitt-Mullen games so far have not been competitive at all. It's been a combined 43-3 at halftime.
Yeah, last year was a total snoozer, and Tennessee didn't do much. I do think that – who was the good receiver they had, 15? It was number 15?
Jennings was 15, and Callaway – yeah, Jennings and Callaway were their tandem.
So Jennings last year, I mean, they threw a pass, and if I recall, in the end zone, and the game was still really tight, hit him right in the hands early in the game. And, I mean, literally hit him right in the hands. He dropped it. And that was pretty much Tennessee's game right there. They didn't have a chance. I don't think they threatened again the rest of the game, lost 34-3, and Gators just rolled them. So this could be an interesting game, though, because of a few things. One, the Gators have – this will be now the third straight, really, because the Arkansas game had some juice because of Felipe Franks returning to the Swamp. Mm-hmm. The Gators were ready for that game, scored 63 points, looked fantastic. At that point, I'm sitting here thinking, man, this could end up being one of the best offenses in Florida history, if not the best. Statistically, it was trending that way, et cetera. Then it goes to Vanderbilt, heavy favorite, pretty stale performance, won convincingly, but still 21-point win there. Yeah, not that impressive. And then this past week playing against Kentucky, which coming off a 60-point loss to Alabama, which, you know, the transitive property rarely really applies. You know, you can't, like, suddenly help figure it out that suddenly Army wins a national title because it beat, like, some opponent that beat blah, 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 blah. You know how that all works. But you can kind of gauge this and go, yeah, Alabama beat them by 60 and ran them off the field. And the Gators kind of struggled with Kentucky and needed a punt return right before halftime to seize the lead for the first time. Didn't look back from there, and won comfortably 34-10. But so they're coming into this game. I mean, how seriously are they going to take Tennessee? 2-5, program's going nowhere. Gators have their eyes on this SEC title game in Alabama, and they're going to get up there. It's going to be freezing cold, and you know, things start to go south, and I mean, I don't see it, but it's gonna be a little challenging. I don't think they're gonna lose, but it might be another kind of grind it out performance and pull away at the end. And the Gators really, I think, need to start to really grease the wheels, so to speak, for this Bama game, because that's I think they got a shot in that game, but they got to play better.
All right. We're listening to Edgar Thompson of the Orlando Sentinel, does a great job covering the Florida Gators. How would you assess Florida's run defense this season? Because obviously Tennessee, I know they've had the weirdest schedule of playing a game, being off, playing a game, being off, playing a game, being off. But the last time they did play, they went down to Auburn, and Eric Gray, the sophomore running back, had 22 carries for 173 yards. They really ran the ball well. It's amazing you lose by 13 when you run it that well. But how has Florida's run defense been this season?
I mean, average at best. In fact, it's funny, I'm looking right now, Auburn and Florida give up 4.11 yards per carry on the button each. So that's kind of wild. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Kentucky got some traction in the run game. That's kind of my word today, I think, traction. I've used it a few times. They were able to run the ball and control the clock and keep the offense off the field. At one point, it was 37 snaps for Kentucky, 15 for Florida. That's how you keep Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts and this offense at bay. And I'm sure Tennessee's going to employ the same strategy or attempt to. And the Gators, they don't get off blocks as well as they need to with the linebackers. They tend to be a bit undersized. They're more speed and all that than stature, let's say. So, you know, they're inside, interior linemen, are pretty good. Slayton, Campbell, I like them, but they can't play every snap. And they, so they're just, they're unremarkable, really, against the run and need to be better at it, because it's certainly what Tennessee's going to try to do. And Alabama, you know, gets the Gators, you know, guessing and against that offense by running Najee Harris and suddenly opening up for Mac Jones and company. That could be trouble. But, yeah, the Gators need to improve there. They just defensively in general. I mean, the big play is tripped up the Gators some weeks. Other weeks they can't get off the field. The defense really hasn't, like, improved like we thought it would. So, yeah, it's an issue. I mean, the Gators are going to just have to outscore Alabama. But this week I think it'll be a good test to see if this run defense, you know, can gain some footing.
Do you think Todd Grantham's there for the long haul? Or do you, I mean, I know, and I was proud of you for asking the question. I know Mullen said that they disagreed over Christmas lights on Thanksgiving and took kind of the cute way out of it. But do you think that there may be, you know, they were together at Miss State, they're together now. Do you think that they may not be long for one another?
I can't really say that. I mean, I think Todd Grantham's pretty proven, right? He has a good track record. He knows the SEC. Players seem to like to play for him. I just think the Gators don't have any special playmakers. Marco Wilson was going to be one, we thought. Nope. Marco Wilson has gotten worse every year since that Kentucky ACL injury, which can happen. He just hasn't been the kind of player I was expecting. Brenton Cox, the five-star transfer linebacker from Georgia, we thought he was going to be the next Grenard or Ja'Kai Polite. I mean, he shows flashes, but those guys were dominant. And they just don't have that. I mean, David Reese leaving, a lot of people thought he was pretty slow and wasn't really a, you know, transcendent player. And he wasn't great in space, but, man, he filled the gaps between the tackles and he didn't get run over. I've seen Ventrell Miller, who I think's done an okay job, but he's gotten run over multiple times this year by running backs. That didn't ever happen to David Reese. So, and the list goes on. I mean, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson 2 years ago, my God, he was a playmaker. They don't have a guy like that. So, yeah, this defense is pretty ordinary. I'm not saying that they can't put together a scheme and you know, keep the Gators, you know, not get blown off the field, and that's what they're going to have to do and just hope this offense can carry the load, which kind of is converse from what's been going on before Kyle Trask took over. The defense has been carrying the Gators for years now until recently. So, Grantham's future, I mean, hey, he could – have NFL interest. He has NFL, was in the NFL 11 years. Maybe Mullen and him part ways. I don't necessarily expect that. I mean, I think maybe it's the circumstances and personnel right now.
And finally, flipping back over to the offense, I don't know what you were covering in the mid-90s. You said you started covering Florida in 02, but obviously Florida had the fun and gun with Spurrier and Werfel and Hilliard and Anthony, and then you were there covering the Tebow, Percy Harvin days. I know Dan Mullen last week on the SEC teleconference said he put this offense right up there with him. You know, how do you kind of compare this offense to the other great eras that Florida's had?
Well, after the Arkansas game, I was doing a lot of comparing and putting pen to paper. And the 96 team was 46-6 and 534 yards a game. And this is at a time when offenses in the SEC were not putting up numbers close to that. I mean, Spurrier revolutionized offense in this league. So that still has to be the gold standard here. But this one at that point was pushing 46-point threshold and now down to like 43 and change, and it was 511 yards, and it's probably around 500 or so now. I haven't looked. But it's still putting up great numbers. I mean, the Utah offense that Dan Mullen was with in 2004, 45 a game. It might have led the nation that year. Again, a different era, and you had Alex Smith, which had the run threat. But I do like, you know, the Grossman year in 2001 when Tennessee really spoiled their season, you know, in the 9-11 game that had to be made up in December. I do think that this offense is in that conversation, 08 with Tebow and Harvin. Harvin, no player on this team is anything in that universe of Percy Harvin, who was a generational guy. But this team, what I like about it is Kyle Trask is an incredible decision maker, very accurate, knows his offense inside and out. Dan Mullen is an astute play caller, knows how to find weaknesses and exploit them in defenses, and he's got a lot of weapons. And Kyle Pitts might be the most unique weapon to come down the pike here in the history of this program. I mean, 6'6", 250-pound guy who can run like he can catch, outran a running back last week, cornerback on the way to the end zone. I mean, he is a big-time guy. And they have a lot of guys, Kadarius Toney, Trey Grimes, and others. Really a lot of options, a lot of headaches for defensive coordinators this offense can create.
And I saw in Florida's notes where they're averaging 7.41 yards per play and that the 96 team averaged 7.40. So the fact that it's on a – I know it's barely on a record pace, but it is on a record pace against a schedule, Edgar, that doesn't have a UT Martin or an Idaho on it. So I think the fact that, you know, they're playing just nothing but league defenses, I know it's a different era and I know points are being put up there, but it is remarkable that it at least comparisons can be made with this offense given that they're no cupcakes.
Hey, I agree. I think this offense is certainly going to be in that conversation with the best ones to come down the pike in Florida history, which is, you know, known for offense, this program, especially in the last 30 years. Let's see what it does. It needs a big game here at Tennessee. I think LSU is ripe for a blowout. And what's it going to be playing for in 2 weeks? And then you get the shot if you're the Gators. You get Alabama, the best offense going maybe. Is it nationally number one? Let's see. I got it right. Yeah, they're number one among Power 5, 48-5. And the Gators are going to get their shot. And I think they can go toe-to-toe with the Crimson Tide. Whether they can keep up for four quarters remains to be seen. I'm going to be very excited to see that game. And, you know, that's a game that's going to have a ton on the line. A SEC title, a college football playoff spot, and potentially a Heisman Trophy to the winning quarterback, Mac Jones or Kyle Trask.
That's true. Great stuff, Edgar, as always. Always appreciate your time. Great job again on the story on Robbie and Pat. That was fun. That was a fun, fun read. And we always appreciate you joining us here in Chattanooga on Press Row.
Anytime, man. Thanks for having me.
All righty. Edgar Thompson does a great job covering the Gators with the Orlando Sentinel. 648-1051 is the number. It's Painter Ready poll question time when we come back here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.